Hey everyone, welcome to the Mass Construction Show. I'm your host Joe Kelly, and this is a podcast about all things construction in Massachusetts and beyond. Today we have William Palacios of the Basement Tribe, as well as Adela and Jose, participants of the Basement Tribe, an organization out of Chelsea, Mass, and actually they bounce around, you'll hear quite a few places. They're doing amazing work. We've partnered together, putting some hoodies together to raise money for their funds. So please take a look at the show notes or reach out to me on social media if you'd like to purchase one. But either way, they're doing special work. I want you to hear this. It's right around Thanksgiving. It's right around the holidays. It's a good time for us to be thankful for everything that comes our way. And this is an important group to me. Hopefully after listening, it could be an important group to you. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the Mass Construction Show. This is where you guys say thanks for having us. Thanks for having me.
This one go. All right. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate thanks it. For having me.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. Thanks. So today we've got William, Jose, and Adela from Basement Tribe. And why don't I just have you guys briefly say a bit about yourself so the people listening can know who they're hearing from.
All right. Thanks, Joe. My name is William Palacios. I'm from Chelsea, Massachusetts, and I'm the executive director of a nonprofit called Basement Tribe. And that's me.
Excellent.
I'm Adela. I'm 17 years old, and I live in Dorchester. I've been with Basement Tribe for about 3 years now. And that's pretty much it.
My name is Jose. I live in Chelsea, Mass. And I've been a part of the Basement Tribe family for about a year and a half now, 2 years around there.
All right. So, William, why don't you just tell us a little bit about Basement Tribe? I know it's funny. I feel like I've heard a lot about it. I've been involved with it, but it's still hard to get your arms around what exactly you guys are doing. It's special and you guys have strong effects. But when I go to tell people about it, it's hard to put it in words, but maybe you can help us out a little bit. And everybody's smiling, so that means they agree it's hard to put it in words.
Yeah, it definitely is, Joe. We've had this conversation before, and you know, on paper, Basement Tribe is a community built to provide opportunity, love, knowledge, and resources to youth in efforts to make them into the leaders that our world needs. And you know, like I said, that's on paper. Now, if you ask me, you know, originally when I started this, Basement Tribe was just the family that we all need, you know, kids from all different communities coming together and sharing moments, you know, creating memories. We do that through our safe spaces, through mentoring, through our events, you know, and overall, again, we just wanted to be that family that we believe that everybody needs. You know, we think that a lot of our youth get lost just because they have nowhere to go. You know, they don't have anyone to turn to. They don't have anyone they can relate to. And what we do is just kind of provide, again, the space, the people. We have mentors who come in and share the space with our youth. And again, just be that person, that space that these kids need. And that's, again, there's so much that we do, you know, there's so much that the ways to describe it, but I think that's the best way to put it on.
What was the need that you saw that the youth needed? They needed, you already said mentors, right? So this is an opportunity to create a community that has mentors. And what are those mentors providing or doing?
So I think it would be knowledge, you know, their knowledge. I believe everybody has a story. Everybody has been through something, you know. I feel like anybody who's living, if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, you know, those years, they mean something, you know. That's a lot of experience. And I think a lot of our kids, they don't have, I hate to say this, but, you know, some of our people, they don't make it, you know, they don't make it. As sad as that sounds, like, you know, a lot of our people don't make it out the neighborhood. It's hard to see somebody who's 30, who's doing something positive, you know. And not to say that we come from a city where it's hopeless, but, you know, sometimes it's like that for a lot of us, you know. And just that's why it was so important to bring the mentors around, because just a simple conversation, the knowledge that they provide, you know, can change everything. And then now we're talking about knowledge, and then we go into resource. services. You know, everybody has something that they can provide. You know, we have some of our mentors are DJs, some of our mentors are boxing instructors, some of our mentors are producers, they're visual artists, you know, and all that's videographers, you know, things like that. So all that type of knowledge and resources they bring into the table, and they provide new opportunities for the kids, and they introduce them to new ways of expressing themselves, or just, or even hobbies, you know. So
yeah. And is it, do they be like, I hate role model seems too general of a term, but is it about exposure too? Because I know, even like, and I think it's really helpful, like I know this is a construction podcast, okay, and some people are going to be listening and going, what the hell are these people talking about, right? Why is this on a construction podcast? But I'll tell you this much, one of the podcasts that I did that talked about a lot more like personal stuff and mental health and a lot of things like that was, I mean, it was amazing, the outflow of you know, DMs and emails and everything that I got. So to some degree, it's helpful just to kind of let it be personal, right? So is, I know even for myself, like, you only know what you see, right? I remember even just showing up to my co-ops. This is something so simple, right? But not wearing a belt. And the guy that owned the company is like, where's your belt? You know, and I was like, what are you talking about? I don't need a belt. You know what I mean? And like, I didn't grow up with a dad that, like, he was an insulator and he didn't teach me how to dress for work. And I was going into an office environment. So it seems like kind of just simple things, right? But some of it is just, you know, letting people have exposure to what else is out there. And even someone like myself, I don't understand music, right? So if I got exposure to someone that did music, I think that would be powerful. So it could be music, it could be art, it could be a business person, but is that kind of what you're going for there, which is to expose the youth that participate to those type of things?
For sure. Exposure, for sure. Expose them to, like you said, to new things, and also show mentors that show you that, you know, that things aren't always going to be okay, you know, mm-hmm. and people you can relate to, you know. Sometimes we look at our role models and they kind of seem really far away. They almost seem impossible. You know, and I like to believe that, that, you know, me making myself vulnerable in front of my kids, because they know a lot about me. You know, I share my stories, I share my struggles, and I feel that adds some hope. You know, that makes it seem like, hey, you know, Will, he's from the same area. You know, he doesn't live a life like these kids or these people on Instagram. You know. He doesn't have the mansion. He doesn't have that, but Will's happy. You know what I mean? He's out here helping us for some reason. He has his car. He has his apartment. He made it. He survived, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't have the chains and the name and, you know, and the followers, but I think it's time for us to kind of reevaluate what success means. And I think, especially to these kids, you know, nowadays, and I think we have to lead by example. And I think, yeah, we're role models, but we're also them, you know. I want them to be clear, like, yo, we're just like you. Like, everything y'all been through, you know, like everything you're going through right now, we probably went through it maybe differently, you know. But you know, we're kind of on the same lane. And if again, like, if we could be that hope, you know, if your mentor is somebody who made it out the same area, you know, I think that. That just gives that extra boost of confidence, of hope, you know, that you could.
Yeah, it goes.
It
goes a long way. Just there's always a connection with an area. Doesn't have to be the same exact neighborhood, but connection with an area matters, right? You know, we'll come back and talk more about what Basement Tribe is, but I think to give it some context, it might be helpful to hear from the other side, people who are participating, right?
That's exactly why we brought them on. Cause you know, like, to me, it's, you know, I just do this cause I love it. I really do. I do it because these kids are awesome, you know, and they deserve a chance in life. They deserve the extra support. They deserve everything great. You know, I don't want to make them seem like victims cause they're not, but you know, mm-hmm. these kids, I know my babies, they go through some stuff that not everybody does. And again, like I have an idea of what I do, but this is exactly why we brought them. Cause they see it differently. And again, yeah, this is why they're there. So I'll let you guys take it away.
Let's do it. So Adela, you are one of the longest running members of Basement Tribe. So yeah. You said 2017, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
What have you done with them? And what is it? I didn't get into this with Will yet, but you know, what was it like when you first started? And what are some of the type of things that you get involved with? Like what's a day in the life of the Basement Tribe? Or what was it like, and you know, that Jose might not know about, right? What was it like when you first started?
Oh my God. Okay. So, wow. Can I just say, first of all,
and say like, whatever you want.
I have so many things to say about Basement Tribe. I don't even know where to start. And I just realized, like, during this podcast itself, like, how much it actually has done for me. Like, I know, like, I have this feeling of, like, oh, I love this place. This is a place where I feel comfortable and everything. But I can never put it into words. But I feel like now I have something to say. Okay, okay. Anyway. So, in the beginning, it was weird. Because the only reason that I started Basement Tribe was because I thought it was an art program. Because my mom used to work with Will at a dental office. And then I guess she heard something about art. And then she was like, oh, my daughter likes art. Like, she should try this out. So I started going. And we started out at Quincy in the gym for artists. I forgot what it was called. Why did I forget what it was called?
Yeah, with Zach and...
Yeah, yeah. We started out there.
Self-made design. Shout out to the self-made design studio.
Yeah. First of all, I loved it there. I loved, like, the feel of it. It was very artsy. And I was just, like, all for it. But I guess it didn't really show my face because I've always been, like, very to myself, you know? I'm a very shy person. But when we first started, it was great. We spent, like, 4 hours in this one space. And we had, like, projects and stuff. And then halfway through, Felicia would give us lunch. That was, like, my favorite part. There was always, like, something new. And it was always so good. They started calling her a lunch lady, like, but I was just like, damn, I love food. But anyway, like, yeah, the beginning, it was good, even though there was only, like, four of us at first. But then when people started coming in, it was kind of weird for me because I was like, damn, more people. I don't want to do this. But then...
Just because... You're saying because you're more introverted.
Yeah, because I'm more introverted. That's, you know, I don't have, like... But, okay. It was kind of hard at first for me to see new people coming in. Because it was kind of like, oh, this is, like, my little space. And I got used to the people that were already there.
Mm.
But at the same time, I feel like a part of me could see, like, oh, this is great. Like, I was able to, like, get used to these people. So I'll get to know these other kids as well. Mm. And that was the beginning. At first, the Basement Tribe was kind of just like, I was only in it for the art, you know? But as time progressed, one-on-one mentoring started happening. You know, I would go out with Felicia and we would do like homework. She would help me out with my homework. And honestly, I wouldn't even want to do homework. Like, I just wanted to hang out, you know? I just wanted to leave my house and go do something. And that was just something that we could do, you know?
Hmm.
And, okay, so that was kind of
like... How about this? How about if I ask you? So was it that you enjoyed the relationship with Felicia, like spending time with her, or was it kind of where you were going and just going to see something different? And
it was both. I can safely say that, like, I've tried so many new things just because of Basement Tribe. Like, we've gone hiking, camping, canoeing. Like, I never would have thought I would do any of those things. Literally, it's just crazy. Like, most of the good things or new things that I've tried in my life, they've been because of Basement Tribe. And I'm very grateful for having had the chance to, like, be a part of this. But, like, the biggest thing that I've gotten out of it?
Please, yeah. Oh, okay. What we're here for.
So, like I said, at first, I was very to myself or whatever. But, so, like, There was one day, this is very random, but one day I was just chilling on my bed, and then I just went like to see my sister, and I just laid there and I was all like, bro, I don't think I can love people. Like, I actually said this, like, just, and it's kind of weird now that I think about it, but those were words that came out of my mouth, like, I don't think I could love people. Like, I mean, yeah, I guess I love you, but you're my sister, you know, like my family. Like, I have to love y'all, right? But it's kind of like I didn't really have, like, a definition of what love was. You know, it was something, it was more of an automatic thing. And in my house, like, it's not something we really say often, you know, because you're supposed to love your family automatically. So there's no need to say it. But, and Felicia, I feel like she noticed that I wasn't really like emotional or affectionate that way, because sometimes she would literally say, I love you or something. And I don't know, my response would be kind of weird. And then she'd be like, just say, I love you back, girl. Like, just say, I love you. I just thought of this, like, right now in this moment, because now I feel like you could ask anybody, and they would say that I'm the most emotional person in there. Like, literally the other day at the gym, they revealed that they were having a baby, and I started crying. Like, I cannot count the amount of times that I've started crying. And if I look back on my old self, that's not something that I would have been able to do. Like, I wouldn't have felt the connection, like, to care enough to just cry in front of people or cry for, you know, it's really weird. Like, I've built connections with these people, even the people that I don't really talk to as much. Like, I feel for them, you know. For example, like, take Didi. Like, I don't talk to him. Like, we've never really interacted one-on-one, but like, even from afar, like, I feel proud. Like, if I stop to think about it, like, damn, this dude is like 14 and he's like designing clothes and shoes and stuff. Like, it's crazy. And even Jose, like, we don't really talk like that, but like, every once in a while he'd ask, like, yo, you good, bro? And I'm just like, you care? And it's just, and then, like, at the same time, it's like, you just see these people working so hard. Like, it's just crazy. Like, just, I've been able to, like, through Basement Tribe, it's been like a space where I feel comfortable. Like, they just kind of force you out of your shell in a good way. And I've just ended up, like, being super in touch with my emotions. Like, even the smallest things, I'm able to find the beauty in it. And I think that's, like, the biggest gift that I've received from this program. And every time I talk about it, like, I get emotional, bro. Like, I can't talk about Basement Tribe without getting emotional. Just because, like, I could really feel the difference that it's made in my life. It is crazy. Like, I just love it so much.
Well, that's great. Well, here's what's amazing. You're 17. I didn't figure out what my feelings were until I was 40. So you're, you're way ahead.
Oh my God. Can I say one more thing? Just one more thing. So about the...
Why are you here?
Yeah. So the one-on-one mentoring, something else. I've done mentoring with Christina. She's one of my favorites. You know? Okay, yeah, she's one of my favorites. But every time we hang out, it's kind of like, I feel like we're on the same level, you know? It's like I'm talking to this 20-something-year-old person, but I still feel like I'm being heard. Like, she's actually listening to what I'm saying. And every time I get, like, the opportunity to, like, speak what's on my mind, and when I feel like the other person is actually listening to me, I just, like, I start realizing so many things about myself. Like, I found myself so many times through, like, the interactions I've had with these people. And it's just amazing. And every time I talk, she kind of she's told me like, yo, Adela, you have the keys, bro. Like you know, like I have a good perspective on life or something like that. And that just, I think about that every once in a while and I'm just like, do I really? And it just makes me feel good. You know, the fact that somebody out there is just like just listening to what you're saying. And they're taking it like serious, you know, because I don't think that's something a kid will find every day.
Yep.
For a person to like listen to what they're saying. Yeah.
That's beautiful. So, Jose, how do you follow that, buddy? You've had a little bit of a shorter stint, but, you know, what's your involvement like with Basement Tribe looked like?
I feel like when I first got introduced, I didn't really communicate with the members at all. I just stayed in the corner, you know. You feel me? My guard was up because I didn't trust no one. And slowly, like they took me in, you feel me? Like a real family member. And like I slowly started caring about the people around me and not just about like certain individuals. They gave me a lot. And they gave me like a space where I could be my true self, because I can't be, you know, like I can't be the real me, and in the places that I go to most of the time because of my circumstances. But when I'm with Basement Tribe, like I just let everything go, you know?
Yep. No, that's fantastic. Go ahead, Adela. Yep.
Okay, so just hearing him mention about how his guard was up at first, it just made me think about the first time I actually noticed him in Basement Tribe. You know, my first impression of him was not good. Like, I told myself, oh, like I don't know, his vibe, it kind of felt like intimidating to me in a way. And I was like, damn, I don't really want to mess with him. Like I told myself that I wouldn't like really interact with him. That's probably wrong, but that's what happened, right? Mm-hmm.
Because no. An honest opinion.
In general, like, I kind of get, like, I like to get a sense of people's vibes. I don't know how that works. I just, like, sometimes you just have a feeling, like, you know, if you fuck with somebody or if you don't. But, like, I saw this dude and I felt like he was rude, right? That was just my initial impression. And, like, it makes sense because, you know, sometimes, like, you just have to look tough so people don't like try to mess with you or something. But like, just thinking about that first impression of him and how I see him now, like literally I've never had like an actual conversation, like one-on-one. It's not like we bonded like or anything, but just like being in the same space, you could feel the difference like as time has passed. Like I introduced two of my cousins to Basement Tribe a while back and they saw him and they were kind of like, oh, we should start making friends. And then one of them mentioned making friends with him. And I was like, I was kind of iffy at first because, you know, I hadn't really talked to him and I still had like that previous impression. I was like, I don't know, bro. I don't know. And then like, I don't know, something just clicked. And it's just, I just started to notice like, dude, this kid is actually really social. Like he's talking to a lot of people and he looks nice. So then, and then there's just been little interactions like after that. And I'm just like, I can't believe I ever thought he was like not nice.
Yeah. You know, what's funny? I bet you a lot of people, in construction can relate to this. And I wasn't trying to make this about construction at all. This is about Basement Tribe. But the construction people that are listening, especially when you are in the field side of things, like I started out as a superintendent, so I'd be on site working out of a trailer, you know, hard hat and work boots and go in there every day. And what's funny is you tend to find, or at least I always found, the people that were the toughest on the surface, if you got through that, they were the most wonderful people. There was literally, and here's a tie-in to the conversation we're going to have about Raising Gang, and we're allowed to swear on this podcast, by the way. Oh. So my first day on the job, right, or one of the early on, it's like first week, right? I'm out there, you know, probably 22, 23 years old or whatever, and I'm out there, and they're erecting steel. It's with the iron workers. And there's a guy, this grizzled old dude, up on the steel beam, and I came walking out, and there's a bunch of iron workers there, and him in particular goes, and he goes, get the fuck out of here. He goes, we don't need no fucking pussies bird dogging us all day. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, Adela, you're muted, so I can't hear your response, right?
What is bird dogging? Did you say bird dogging?
Bird dogging means like watching. Like, so if someone was looking over your shoulder, watching what you were doing all the time, if you had a boss that was like, hey, where were you? I walked by and you weren't at your thing, right? That's like, and it comes from the phrase of like a beagle or whatever, or a bird dog is okay. Always like looking, right? So, and I was like, all right, whatever, you know, and you just have to like, you just got to deal with it, right? What am I going to do? Just, you know, so you deal with it. But by the end of that job, that guy and I were like this. And we were buddies, and we'd ride in the hoist together, and we'd do all this stuff. And, you know, I find that if you give the people that give off that vibe and have that shell, if you don't leave, they're really good people, and they appreciate that you stick through that. Because I think, and now I'm only playing psychologist here, which is, they have had enough people not be there for them that they just put up this front that they're going to be hard from the beginning. And then if you can make it through that, then okay, that's the kind of person that will stay. But if you say you're a fucking pussy, you're bird dogging me, get the fuck out of here, and you leave, he says, see, that person was going to leave anyway, right? That's what's going on in their mind. I didn't know this at the time. I'm a little older now, so maybe I'm a little wiser. But I think you run into that hard surface in construction a lot, because it's just that going. And now with times, things are changing, right? This was a while ago. But yeah, I think often the people that give that vibe are really good people down deep. So it sounds like that's what that was happening. Not to be psychoanalyzing the situation there, but yeah. And I think construction people will relate to that. How about just, we'll loosen it up a little bit. So Adela talked about like, camping, doing artwork, going out with mentors. There's been a big shift to boxing lately. So, well, Peter Welch's gym, they've donated space for you guys? Or how did that work?
Oh, man. So I've been a member at Peter Welch's gym for a little bit, for over like 5 years now. And I've been going there faithfully. And one of my brothers, Brian, he's actually one of the mentors in our Basement Tribe program. And one day we just happened, when we were at the Self-Made Design Studios, we happened to have a boxing class. He decided to come by and teach the kids some boxing. And we actually kind of combined art with boxing. So it was actually the day after our fundraiser, and they came in, and we decided to make thank you cards to everybody who came out. So what we did is that we put paint on the boxing gloves, and we started punching on boards, right? A bunch of like cardboard. And we ended up cutting those up and sending out the thank you notes, you know? But that was kind of our first introduction to boxing. It was just Brian's idea. And then we decided, because we were doing art at the time, so we kind of just kind of combined it so it made sense for the program. But then we just started seeing that the kids really liked it. And boxing was something that saved me, just like art. art. That's why I introduced it. Everything I introduced to these kids from nature, art, community, you know, physical activity, all that stuff is stuff that saved me. So when I seen that the kids were really into the box, and I was like, you know, I started adding a little bit more classes into our schedule. And then when we actually left the self-made designs, we ended up at All Dorchester Sports League, which is a nonprofit in Dorchester. And they let us in, and all they do is physical activity. So they just had a whole gym, start working out. That's what we did for a while until we started figuring out what our next step was. And that led us to Peter. You know, Peter just ended up talking about how he wanted to have some kids come by, and he wanted to open up the space to the community, but he just didn't want to open it freely like that. So at that point, I already had some youth. So that was actually last year, around March is when we started it. And Peter Welch is a great person, and he's seen what I was doing on the outside and decided to let me in. And he's seen how hard I work in the gym, and he knew that I was a good person and I was doing good things. So he gave me the opportunity to use the space. He lets me use his instructors too. I don't know how to say, you know, he has instructors that he lends out, and
he donates their time. Yeah, yeah.
He donates their time, and they give us real classes every Friday and every Sunday. And we are not a boxing program. You know, we don't want to ever say that we're a boxing program, because we're not. We're not here to make fighters. And, you know, the same thing with our art program. We're not here to make artists and stuff like that. But, you know, we use the space again to help these kids heal, to help them grow, to help them express themselves, you know, and again, introducing them to something new that they probably never even done before.
It seems like, Jose, you've taken to the boxing piece.
Yeah, I feel like I got introduced to the gym, and they're providing like a big opportunity for me. They let me come in and work out, and I have a passion for it. I really love doing it. It means a lot to me too. And it was like when I first started, it was like I wasn't like that good, and I'm not like that good right now, but I noticed that I'm really getting better. And it's a safe space for me. It really is. It's a place where I could go and like let go of all my emotions so that I don't have to carry them with me. I feel like that's important.
What is it you like? Is it, you know, is it the fact that is it that you got to learn the techniques? Is it just the physical aspect of getting there and doing the work? Is it, like, I know part of any sport is just spending time and working out with other people, like those relationships you're making. Is it strategy, where, like, you know, I'm not a boxing fan or aficionado or anything, but from what little I know, is people underestimate how much strategy is involved with boxing. They think it's just two people beating on each other, and that's far, far from the case. What is it that you liked? Why did you gravitate? Because Will tells me that you're going there almost daily now.
I feel like it's really not a sport. It's not two people beating each other up. It's a lifestyle. If you really want to be successful in something like that, you have to live it. You have to dream about it every day. You have to envision yourself, you know, holding that belt. You really have to do it. And to be honest, you have to be consistent to earn people's respect. I feel like at the gym, like, everybody's starting to get to know me, and people notice me because I show up and I work as hard as I can, you know, and I go there every chance I get because it means a lot to me. But yeah.
It's a little bit of the, you're saying the discipline and the determination and all that kind of stuff is.
Yeah. And the community too. The people at the gym are really nice, and they really like they're willing to teach you because they care, you know, and they know what it feels like to be like where I'm at right now.
Yeah. In the beginning. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, now that people, we'll come back and we'll talk more about Basement Tribe, but We are now probably almost a half hour into this thing, and everybody that's listening is going, what's his point, right? But now everybody has a sense of what Basement Tribe is, who goes there, and this is just a small sample of the people that attend and the different things that are going on, from camper trips to art to boxing and everything in between, retreats and mentors and private sessions and things. But you know, I kind of met William through Anthony, who, you know, helped out, I think, in the beginning with Basement Tribe a little bit, when probably the early days with Adela. And I knew you guys did art. You know, I wanted to look to try and start doing some artwork for some hoodies for Mass Construction. William said, well, we've got Adela, and Adela likes to do art, and let's, you know, let's see, maybe we'll make it work. And I said, okay, well, I'd love to, you know, let's make this a learning experience. So it was a matter of, I had had a local artist who I think I'm still going to go back to and probably work with on some other stuff, because her style of art is a little different. And, you know, I like different styles, so I might mix things up a little bit. So I reached out to William and I said, you know, I want things that people in commercial construction can relate to. And we talked about a Red Wing boot, which is a particular style of boot that a construction worker wears. And then I also thought about just like words or phrases that people in construction would know. And I thought about raisin gang. Raisin gang, going back to the ironworker stories, right? You would think the last person, that guy happened to be part of the raisin gang to boot. Raisin gang being the group of iron workers that erect the steel when it goes up. And a lot of Mass Construction, as well as Basement Tribe, is about making people better. I know, you know, somebody that was kind enough to donate to the podcast on a monthly basis was, when I thanked him, you know, he said, you know, it's an education. He goes, I get an education. There's other podcasts I listen to and I enjoy and they're fun or whatever, but, you know, I learn. And for me, he happened to do $10 a month, he committed to. He's like, to me, it's $10 a month is worth it to learn, right? And I think a lot of what I try and share on LinkedIn and Instagram and through emails and through the website and the podcast is all about kind of just making us all better. Because I'm sharing stuff, but I'm also learning by getting to interview the people. And I'm learning by having people send me information. And so, yeah, I'm spending a lot of time on this, but I feel like it's making everybody better. So when you think of it, I guess metaphorically might be the right word, which is that's that crew that's bringing the building up, right? And you could think of it just like bringing people up, just like Basement Tribe is bringing up the people on this phone, and it's bringing, on this call, and it's also bringing William up himself too while he's at it, because you can see it in his face when you guys talk, right? You're making him better. I'm trying to do my little part and make construction people better and people that listen better. And, you know, so I thought raisin gang was the right phrase, and there was a good association with the Basement Tribe. So I asked Adela to do up some designs for a nice looking, you know, font and style. It's kind of 70s-ish, little graffiti-ish, mix, incorporate Mass Construction colors, and it was going to be paid, right? So this was an opportunity where William's like, okay, now we're going to have our first, where we started this thing originally about art, now we can have somebody do art and get paid for it, who's still a kid, right? And I don't mean that in a bad way, Adela. Are impacted by Basement Tribe. Thanks again. Appreciate your support. Now let's hear from Adela. Adela, could you just tell people what was that like? What was it like essentially kind of getting your first job doing art? What was that like? Good and bad. Was I bad to work with? Was, you know, were things not clear? How much did you rely on William? Like, how did that all go? And you can unmute yourself, William, because I hear you laughing, but no one else can hear it. It sounds like I'm talking about myself. All right. So what was it like, Adela?
It was scary at first because, honestly, it's something that I'd never tried before. But like, it was an opportunity, and I was all like, there's no way that I'm gonna say no to this. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna jump in head first, and then I'm gonna see what happens then. So I just went for it, and it didn't turn out bad, but I just went for it, right? And before the first meeting, the Zoom call we had, I was so scared. I was like, damn, like, who is this person? What am I supposed to do? Like, what if I do something wrong and they just like, I don't know, kick me out or something? But then, like, you know, talking to you, it was kind of cool, because I was like, okay, calm down, Adela. This is just another human being. Just
not that bad.
Okay, yeah, it's okay. So I was like, okay, it's cool. I'm not doing this alone. Will's going to be there if I have any questions or whatever. So I was like, okay, this is an opportunity. I'm going to do my best. And whatever happens, happens. And that was kind of like my mindset throughout the whole thing. And, you know, when I did my first draft of the design and you gave me your input, I was like, okay, cool. This is normal. Like, I just got to do what he says. Just fix it, you know? And I kept doing that over and over again. Eventually, we got to a point where, like, the letters were all set, you know, it was all good. But the boot. Yeah. When I tell you, I've never worked on something like so many times ever. I haven't. But like, it was so cool, because every time I would send Will like whatever I did, he'd be like, oh no, you just, it's good, but you gotta try doing a little bit of this and that. And I would just laugh to myself. I would just laugh, because I'd be like, it's okay. Like, let me just, I'll just keep doing.
Well, that's really, I don't mean to interrupt, even though I am interrupting, but I think there's a, you know, that's what this is about, right? Because like, business is sometimes messy, and it is getting critical feedback. Now, it must be even more difficult when it's your design, right? Because that's like, hey, that's what I designed, and someone doesn't like what I designed, right? And I didn't not like it. I just was trying to get what I had in my head out, right? So it was tweaking. So I think it's good to go through those machinations of, and I can't imagine if I was 17, like I was doing landscaping in the summer and stuff like that. And that's easy, you know, go dig that hole when your boss can yell at you, and you go dig the hole or go unload that truck, right? That's simple. But this was much more of closer to like a business mm-hmm. kind of job, right?
Yeah, but where?
No, I was going to say where, like, you're getting a project and you need to execute on that and receive critical feedback and come up with ideas and think about things and email with some 40-something-year-old, which is, you know, like, I know to you, I'm like, you know, super old, right? So there's this old guy that has some business and now he wants me to do this for him. But like, but do you feel like you gained some confidence as it went on?
To be honest, like, I didn't really have a problem with like somebody like tweaking my work. It wasn't so much about that. It was more about like, I'm not gonna lie, I can be a little lazy sometimes. Mm. And I just felt like, damn, I thought I was done with this, but it's okay. I thought I was gonna do this and I'm gonna follow through. And I feel like that was a really good experience for me, because it kind of pushed me to just like, you know, follow through with what I say I'm going to do. Because it would be like late at night, like, because at night I'm a night owl, so I would just be working on this boot like at night, and you could ask Will. I would send him my picture, like the picture of it. I would send it to him like at three, at two. It was crazy. I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm just sending the picture. He don't have to open it until later. I just wanted to send it so I could like know that I was like doing my part, you know? And like that whole process, it was really good for me, because like I just got to like do something. And like now it's on a hoodie. Now I'm just like, you know.
Yeah.
Also, you know what? How much are the hoodies gonna be? Because I kind of want one. Like, there's no way that there could be a hoodie out there.
I think I know somebody. I think we can hook you up. You'd be good.
All right, I'm back. Who's gonna buy Adela a hoodie? Poor girl worked so hard on this. and I'd love to see her walking around with one, but I don't want to take the money out of Basement Tribe's pocket. So, I mean, I'll make a point to make sure she gets one if no one steps up, but I think it would be pretty special if she got a message that said, hey, listener XYZ just bought you a hoodie, and your artwork helped Basement Tribe, which meant so much to you, and this person stepped up and bought you a hoodie that meant so much to you as well. So whoever wants to do that, reach out. Let's get a hoodie on Adela. Now back to what William has to say. You hear him still laughing.
Joe, really quick, man. Please. Like, going off of what you're talking about, that's why we do what we do, you know, just, again, letting these kids make mistakes without it costing them too much. I feel like where we come from, our youth aren't, they don't have too many mistakes to make. You know, it's not too many mistakes you can make in a place where we come from, you know? And, you know, I want to give them the space where they're allowed to make mistakes, you know, where they can grow without losing their lives or losing an opportunity or worrying about what's going to happen. You know, sometimes in our space, like, you know, we don't allow our kids to swear, but we don't kill them if they swear. We don't punish them. You know, we don't censor our kids. We lead by example. You know what I mean? We don't censor them. They don't swear because they don't want to. And when they drop their bombs, it's because they're expressing themselves, and I fall back on it. You know what I mean? And again, we provide that space for them to learn skills like that. You know, because, you know, we're all adults here. Like, these kids, they're just like us. We've all made mistakes. We've all done stuff that we look back on and we're like, ugh, that wasn't me. You know what I mean? If I look back when I was 15, I cringe, like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, ugh, I can't believe, ugh, you know?
The stupid things.
And you know, I think we all deserve to be forgiven for our mistakes, you know? And I hope that these kids, they never feel that way. Like, oh, my God, like, I did that, and they hold on to it. You know, if she would have messed this project up, it would have been smooth. Like, all right, don't worry about it. I'll take over. I got you, sis. You know, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. If she would have, whatever would have happened, you know, she would have made it. She would have made it. She would have made it because we would have supported her. We would have helped her get through all of it, you know, like we did, you know, because she had her little moments where she was stressing, like, oh man, how do you, all right, let me reach out to this artist and let me bring him to the table and he'll give you some tips, you know? So we connect people into our network. We try to reach out and see how we can help her out.
Yeah.
You know, well, so.
Adela, you were looking like you wanted to say something.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that, like, sometimes people don't really think about, like, you don't, like, making mistakes is not something. Okay, let me start over. Hold on. Okay. So it's like in life, when you make a mistake, a lot of people feel like, oh, I'm a failure. Like, you know, they kind of feel like it's all over, because sometimes you really do just have the one opportunity to do something. And just the pressure of it, like, just the thought of, like, making the mistake, that pressure all by itself can make you fail from the start. You know, sometimes you just need to have an open mind. And I feel like having Will there through the whole process, that really helped me having, like be cool, you know, be cool-minded. Because, honestly, if I hadn't had somebody to talk to or to, like, give me the advice or, like, you know, on how to tweak the boot, and stuff like that, I would have been like, damn, like, this dude is paying me and I'm giving him, like, this trash job. Like, what am I doing? And it would have been so bad. But, like a person never really, like, takes the moment to realize how, like, important it is to be able to make mistakes without having to feel like your whole world is going to crumble down around you. You know, sometimes just having that safety net of, like, Will being like, yo, I got you. Like, if you fall, like, I'll be there. You know, it gives you more confidence, and that's going to result in you not, like, not overthinking it and self-sabotaging, you know? Yeah. Because sometimes a person just has to, like, they just have to, like, keep their minds open and just do things. And doing that could really be hard when you just think about all the pressure that's, like, involved in everything. And that's something I always try to remind myself of, like, you know, if you mess up, you just got to learn from it and get back up and all that stuff. But it's just, like, honestly, having the safety net of, like, somebody just being there to support you, I think that's really important. And that's kind of, like, what the whole program is about in my life, too. You know, like, if you fail, it's okay. You have people that will try to push you back up. You know, there's just people all around you. And sometimes people don't even notice that. Like, you could find like a connection in the weirdest of places. Like, it's so unexpected. Like, you just, like, I've just learned so much about just like accepting people, or like just keeping your mind open. That's the biggest thing. Because honestly, you could, like, you could have a bad first impression of somebody. But like, if you just relax, like, just chill and be, and not overthinking, like, eventually it'll work itself out. You know, you just have to give people a chance. Mm-hmm. That's just crazy. Like, I really realize things, but it's like, for you, real.
I think you're supposed to be a philosopher and not an artist. But now I want to, you hit on something important, right? Which is like the making mistakes and feeling that pressure. And it was funny when this was going on, like the whole, not the whole point of this, but the point of this is to get a logo, right? But I could really, I used, what the hell was it, 99 Designs to get my original logo. Like, I could have done that, right? But I think there's so much value in going through this. And I remember one distinct moment, and I think this is why, and I'm saying more this for you, Will, because this, I think we should do more of this, right? These type of things. When the Raising Gang logo was done, and I remember thinking like, okay, where's the boot? And, you know, because that's what's going to happen in the real world, right? Where you get one thing done, but the person you're working for says, yeah, that's fine. But I asked for two things. Where's the other thing? Mm-hmm. Right. And I remember thinking like, all right, well, I'll just call Will and just like talk to him and say, oh, okay, when do you think the boot, like, to make it softer, because Adele is young and she's learning, right? But I'm like, you know what? No, like, the best way for her to learn is, thanks to the Raising Gang, where's the boot? And I did that. And then I remember on Instagram, you were doing something. I put a comment, where's the boot, right? Yeah. Just to put that pressure on, because that's how someone learns, right? And I think it's important. And whether that's boxing and getting the pressure of eventually getting in the ring. Jose, have you had the chance to get in the ring yet and spar yet?
Yeah, I have.
What was that first go around like?
Wait, could you... Oh, I feel like when I went in there, I wasn't scared, and I was mad happy to be in there, because all my hard work, like, I saw my hard work starting to pay off, you know, and it's like I feel like it's like a part of life, you know, you punch people in the face and you get punched back. You feel me? And you just have to bite down on your mouth guard and keep it going. You feel me? Yeah. And because it's like I feel like in a situation like that, you can't give up. You can't show the people around you that you're tired, you know? And I feel like there wasn't really that much pressure. I feel like it was like I was like in a mindset of I'm in here and that's my opponent, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, did I answer the question?
Yeah, you did. And surprisingly, you were saying you didn't feel the pressure, but it was perseverance that you were saying, which is like, we're gonna fight through this no matter what. We're gonna bite down, do it. And you know, I wonder if that gets learned as part of the Basement Tribe too, that like, you got to show up, because you get, and here's, you know what it is? You guys see William show up all the time. For what? It's He's not making us. Money.
Very true. Very true. Right? And that's definitely why I have this combo with them all the time. Like, boxing is just, it's beautiful. You know, it's an art. It's a teacher. It's the ultimate teacher. It's the ultimate humbler. You know what I mean? Like, and it takes hard work. Like, that's the only, like he says, that's the place where you can't quit. You know, you can lose and everything's okay. But the day you quit in that ring is the day that, you know, people don't look at you the same. You know what I mean? It says a lot about you. And that goes along, that goes with life. You know, in life, you don't quit. You don't give up, no matter how hard it gets, no matter when you start leaking from your nose and when you get dropped and when you got punched 170 times and you're still in the fight. You know, I like to think about it as life. You know, life is tough. These kids don't have it easy. You know, not just Jose, not just Adela, but everybody, you know, everybody who's not in the program, you know, they don't have it easy. So this boxing is just that other way of me pushing them, you know. Adela's an artist, but she's boxing all the time. She's one of the kids who's been with us since the beginning of the Fighting Together program. She doesn't miss a class, you know, and she says she's lazy. And it's true, you know, she's lazy, but she's a hard worker. Even when I'm lazy, too. You know, but when it's time to put in work, we put in work. And that's one thing that I teach them. You know, we all take days off. We all have days. I slept today for like 8 hours, 9 hours, you know, because it's my day off. I decided to take the day off. But I've worked so hard the last couple weeks, you know, so that's what we teach them with boxing. You know, we push yourself. You work hard. You train even when you bleed and you don't give up, you know, and who knows? You keep fighting because you might win, even though you're losing. You might land that lucky punch, you know, and just because you're losing right now doesn't mean you can't win at the end of the round. So there's I like to look at it like that. So
what are we going to say, Jose?
So that translates into life because you feel me? Our parents, you feel me? My mom has to wake up every morning, you know, even though she doesn't want to wake up that early, she has to go to work, you know, and she has to push through it. You know, you probably have to do that too. You probably have to wake up early, you know, go to work, you know, make sure that you're prepared for your day and that you're ready to take another day on.
Yeah, absolutely. And like my situation is also different. Like I work for myself, so I can't even mail it in because you know what? If I show up and like, I'm hungover or I'm lazy that week, I don't get paid, right? I used to have a job where, yeah, if I only gave it 50% that week, I still got my check. There's none of that anymore, right? Like if I don't, I eat what I kill, right? So I gotta do it, and I have a little boy and a mortgage, and you know that's the path I've chose. But yeah, if you're learning that skill, perseverance is powerful. But now I want to get to why we're here and why we've had all this long conversation, which is a couple things. And this podcast has been long already, so I don't want to go too deep into, you know, you guys are going to be dropping the funding Our Future video, and unmute yourself, Will, because I'm going to want you chiming in here. A Funding Our Future video for one of the other members of the Basement Tribe, and a way that you guys are trying to support him. You're looking to raise $750 for what he's doing. There's also some other needs. You're looking to support Jose in boxing a little bit. Is that right, Will?
Correct.
So, you're going to have a mechanism. What's the mechanism for people to donate?
So right now what we're doing, get into the Funding Our Future campaign. It's going to be our online campaign, but Funding Our Future is kind of like us finally showing what we're doing. You know, we've been funding kids since the very first day. Like you said, we don't get paid for this. You know, there's nobody in this tribe who has gotten a dollar out of this, you know, and a lot of the work we do doesn't become public. It doesn't hit the web. I tell Joe this all the time, like, you know, these kids, they don't come to Basement Tribe to be viral. They don't come here to get followers. They don't come here to be public figures and to be used online to raise donations and stuff like that. So, you know, we've been able to help kids kind of keep their dreams alive or keep them in line with some sort of purpose, you know. And the Funding Our Future campaign is the first time we're actually going to grab a youth, build, tell his story, you know, or share his dream with the world and have the world help us fund this dream, you know, have them help us not only with funds, but with resources, with knowledge, you know, with experience. And this is going to be the first time, again, that we take one of our youth who and the reason why we grab Didi is because Didi has been doing this on his own for like about a year plus. And Didi actually, he's an artist. He designs sneakers. He paints canvases. And, you know, his dream is to be a famous artist one day. And so what we decided to do is help him with that dream. You know, Didi came to me at a time. He said, I came up with the idea because he came to me one time and he wanted to print hoodies, right? He said, well, help me print this hoodie, right? So I send it to the company, and then like, guys, give me, how much is this gonna cost? So he sent it back to me, and it was like $520 something, and then he writes back, and I send it to him, and he writes back, I felt the energy. He was defeated. You know, all it took was that number to defeat his dreams, to kind of like squash them. It almost seemed impossible to him. Like, you know, he even said like, dude, I don't have that money, man. Like, I'm sorry. Like he apologized to me. He said, I'm sorry for wasting your time. And that hurt me a little bit because that's a very important moment right there. Like when you grab a kid at a point like that, like, you know, he has a dream, but at the moment it seems impossible. But then he has another option that's reachable. Like he can see it, he can touch it. You know, it might not be the best option, but it's the closest one. So they tend to jump on that, you know. So what I did is I grabbed him, I sat him down, I'm like, listen, Didi, I know it's not working the way you want it to, but just trust me, let's try to build something, you know? And that's when we came up with the Fund in Our Future campaign, where we were like, you know something, let's support your dream. Let's not only like help you print hoodies, but let's help you build a business. Let's help you come up with a purpose for the moment. You know what I mean? Even if next week he wants to be a construction worker, that's fine. At least we got him through the moment. You know, we gave him purpose for the time being. And again, with this project, we want to build him a business and build his brand up and have him leave with knowledge so he's able to continue with his dream or move on into something bigger. And again, we're dropping the video on the 26th. The video is just revolved around Didi's dream and everything that he's trying to do and the person he is. You know, we're just showing a very small part of that because, again, we're not here to make these kids viral. We're not here to, like, show them off as artwork. It's not that. We're just trying to raise some awareness to Didi's ideas and dreams.
Yep. And that will be Thanksgiving Day. I might try and squeeze this in prior to that. Mm-hmm. So people hear it and then know they can check it out on Thanksgiving Day. And then through that mechanism, if people donate through there, what are some of the other needs that are out there? Like, what are some of the other things that you guys, I mean, is it paint supplies? Is it tea passes? Is it food, just buying food for you guys to meet up? Like,
Definitely, you know, again, like, what do? We're a community here to provide opportunity, knowledge, and resources, and all that needs funds. You know, every single one of those things needs funds. Luckily, we've been so blessed enough to be, we're not a million-dollar organization, you know? We're a young organization, and we have very little, but we make so much happen with it, so much. And speaking of resources, we've been able to supply somebody like Jose with shoes for the gym and you know, without a funding our future campaign. You know, this is stuff that people don't see. Some of our kids have come in and they've worn the same clothes they come in with the same clothes all the time. So you know something, we come through, here you go, grab some clothes, we'll grab some money that's been donated, we'll buy you some shoes, here's some Joe's shoes for the sneak for the gym, here's some pants to go to school with, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Food, like these kids, like some of these kids go home hungry. You know, some of these kids have four or five brothers that they share food with. So sometimes we, in the beginning of Basement Tribe, we used to supply every single Sunday there was a meal along with a class. You know, there was some sort of activity with a meal. So the meal is very important to us. You know, those are resources that these kids might not have at home. So some people might think a slice of pizza doesn't mean anything. But to these kids, to me at least, I feel like that one resource can be the make or break it for a kid, where, how he decides to make his next move, You know, I know people who have done a lot of bad things just to eat, you know, so-called bad things just to eat, you know. So if I can provide the shirt, if I can provide the food, if I can provide some sort of resource that stops these kids from making bad mistakes, then we'll do that, you know. And then the knowledge is a whole nother thing, you know. How do we spread knowledge? We through mentoring, through our workshops, through our instructors and mentors, you know. And sometimes this does need funds, you know. Our mentors, they drive. Sometimes they pick up the kids, you know. We need funds for that, you know. The workshops are, they need funds, you know. We've been able, like this year, we had to put everything on a pause because of COVID, you know. But we've been able to provide workshops in the city of Chelsea, the city of Dorchester, where we have something called a youth night. We provide the space where these kids can come in and do art classes. I mean, do art workshops, do dancing workshops, do all type of things, you know. And opportunity, you know, the opportunity requires funds too. One of our biggest opportunities that we do is the fun, Love in the City event. Again, this year we weren't able to do that, but that opportunity, it's big because it's that one time of the year where we open up, where we provide the knowledge opportunity, the resources to everybody in the community. Basement Tribe is only about 10, 15 youth. And unfortunately, we can't open the space for more than that just because we don't have the space and the resources and the time, right? But with these events, we're able to give out hoodies. Last 2019, we gave out 100 t-shirts. We gave out 211 tacos. We had free workshops, free shirts. We had free performances, you know, where kids from the community got a platform to come out and perform, you know, again, a space for them to rehearse, to practice, you know, their craft and their dreams. Yep. And, you know, that was another. And also what we also did was provide about 8 kids with a job that day. They actually, kids came in, they worked the workshops and they got paid for it. You know, the Chelsea Collaborators helped us do that, but that's one of the ways that we've been able to provide opportunities. And also with you, you know, like being able to reach out to Mass Construction and actually Mass Construction reaching out to us for artists. And we provided Della with the opportunity to make a check, you know, the right way, you know, because again, like where we come from, we think it's one way or the other, but we've been able to show Della how to create her own way. And all that equals love, you know, which is the most important thing, which is what we've evolved the whole thing around, you know. I think these kids, they just don't take I love you. I could tell them I love you all day, but if I don't show them, they'll never believe me, you know. And luckily with these donations, we've been able to show them love. We don't give these kids cash. We don't do none of that. But we've been able to provide opportunity, the knowledge, the resources, and in their eyes, you know, at a young age like that, you know, I feel like it's equivalent to love to them, and they open up to us and they give us their trust. So all this stuff is very important and it all requires funds. And I wanted to say this too, like the most important thing for us in the future is our own space, you know, the ultimate space where these kids are a daily space, you know.
I was going to get there. Sorry, go ahead. You said ultimately their own space.
Yeah, the our space, you know, where these kids can have access all the time. Again, we're a community. Basement Tribe is not the Boys and Girls Club. It's not the Big Brother program. It's a community built for these kids where they can come and be themselves, where different kids from different communities can come and be the same, you know, and realize that they're all the same, all in one roof, you know. And when I was younger, there was times where I didn't want to go home. And there's times, you know, and your home is your safe space. Like, if you don't want to go home, where are you going to go? You know, and I know a lot of us have shared that experience where you just don't want to go home, where there's nothing home. There's nothing there waiting for you that you want to go home to, you know. And I like to think about us as that. Even though we don't have a space, like on Fridays and Sundays, these kids feel like that's the place they want to be at. And if we could have that every single day, then that would be a blessing. So if I could ask for anything, you know, it funds so we can open a place up. You know, a small space. It doesn't have to be the Boys and Girls Club. It could be just like a regular apartment size thing where kids can come and do and feel safe and be productive and have a space where they know that's going to be there, you know? And yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cause you guys have bounced around between self-made Gym for Artists, the Chelsea Collaborative, Peter Walter's gym, who's been great for offering you that space right now. But yeah, part of it is not just a space to do art, but just a space to go to? Because you guys are kind of just vagrants bouncing around everywhere.
We need a clubhouse. We're like the kids next door, you know?
Yeah. And for people that are wondering like what they can do, right? So you guys had a GoFundMe, and I remember seeing just like people donating $15, $35. That matters. That's a little bit of money, but it goes a long way. They can contribute to the funding our future, and they'll see that through the video. They could, if there's space out there, they could get you space. They could buy a hoodie, right? The Raising Gang hoodie. We are, I think there's 70 of them being printed up. Okay, black and gray, right? If people buy that hoodie, the money's going to go to the Basement Tribe. I didn't tell Adela and Will this, but that's where that money's going to go. So Adela, you just helped the Basement Tribe. Thank you.
Thank you.
So whatever it is, whether you want to buy a hoodie, whether you want to find some space, whether you want to use the GoFundMe, or I don't know how you guys are going to have it set up with funding our future, any of those ways work. If it's $5, it's $10, it's $500, it's all great. There's a tremendous amount of need there, and I can attest to what's happening there. And the big difference is, Will's right, they're not the United Way or the Boys and Girls Club, and there's not salaries and positions and all this other stuff. It's just people helping people, and this works. A lot of times when those charities get big, it's hard to keep the mission, right? But at this point, you guys, that mission is strong. You're doing some great things. So I hope that they support you in any way. I would love if people would, buy the hoodies. And I'm not even saying like, oh, profit, like after I get my money back for the hoodies and do all, like, no, if you buy a hoodie, all that money is going to go to Basement Tribe. So please buy those hoodies.
Thank you. Quick, check us out at basementtribe.com, sponsored by Mass Construction. And
thank that's you. Right. Yeah,
thank forgot you. About that. See, he forgot about that. He's trying to give us even more money. Like, this man don't help us out enough, man. And that's a blessing. And I'm really thankful because, you know, that website, we've been trying to put it together. So that's going to be a place where we actually, you can go in and see what we're all about and see past content and follow us and be able to see what we do in the future. And it's all because of Mass Construction and Joe Kelly. And, you know, that's definitely, it goes back to community. Like, you know, we don't have the large facilities and the big bank accounts, but we have the community. We have the opportunities, and that's what it takes, a little bit, like just a little bit. $15 goes a long way. $10 goes a long way. You know what I mean? And these kids, like I said, like they deserve a chance. They deserve the opportunity. They deserve the community, you know, just like a lot of people have, you know, and unfortunately a lot of these kids don't have that. And it doesn't matter how much you donate, every single dollar goes back to them. You know, whether it's Jose trying to make it to the Golden Gloves, whether it's DD Customs trying to build his brand up, whether it's Adela trying to build her career as a poet or as an artist, whatever it is, or any of our kids, you know, any of our kids, like every single dollar goes back to them and their dreams and their well-beings and their future, you know. So I definitely want to give a shout out to you and for allowing us to be here and giving us the opportunity to finally have a website, you know, finally, because we put that on the back end because we wanted to wait on all the funds that, again, all the funds we've been able to raise have gone directly back to them. So this has finally kind of been, this year it's been tough, but it's been one of those years where we're starting to see the growth in our program and we're starting to see the support coming in by the tons, you know. And this is the first step to becoming a real organization in the eyes of the public, you know, because what we do, you have to be there. You have to be there. I would love to sit here all day and some people might not even understand what we do after this podcast, you know, but that's why I push the website so you can come see it. You come check it out, because what we do, it's not about the art. It's not about any of that. It's not about the dream of or whether Jose wins the belt or not. It's not about that. It's just about the impact we make on their lives to want to win, to want to see tomorrow, to want to grow, to want to grow old, to be like Joe Kelly's talking about, oh, I'm old. Like, that's the goal. You know, that's the goal. And maybe that's why we laugh at that as young people, because we don't make it. You know, we don't think that far ahead. And I think Basement Tribe, I want it to be something where these kids have hope for the future. And it's all, and again, thank you, Joe, because you have been a big part of that. And thank you.
Yeah, I mean, my part's the easy part. You're the one showing up there every day. And now we are going to go. But before we do this, I got Adela chomping at the bit. So Adela's going to go. And then Jose is going to go with a little bit of any last words you want to share to people that are listening.
I feel like coming across Basement Tribe, it's really helped me, like, just think about others, or just, like, just be myself no matter what's going on around me, and do what feels right to me. And I just feel like it's pretty cool when there's people like you that just, like, help others, or, like, they help the people that are helping the people. I feel like that's really cool, because in those moments you kind of realize, okay, so there's, like, you know, not everybody sucks, but there's also, like, this thing to think about, like, sometimes, like, a person doesn't, like, do things because they want to. Sometimes they have to do these things. But I feel like it's important when somebody who's been through something has, like, enough selflessness to, like, try to, like, put good things out into the world. And I feel like when people do that, it's just going to multiply. And something that I've learned from myself from this whole thing is just to, like, to say what I think and to just be myself no matter what everyone else is saying. Because sometimes a person may want to be nice, or they may want to say something good to you, but they might feel like they can't, because you just don't say nice things to random people. You know, that's not something that people do. Like, it's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been trying to, like, get myself to not think that way. And just, if I feel something, I feel like I should say it, even if the other person thinks it's not genuine. Like, I know that it is. So, yeah, I'm just saying all this because I kind of just wanted to say that, like, you don't really have to know a person to be able to appreciate them or what they're doing, or want to, like, provide support. Just, I feel like nice words, or just, like, a helping hand could really, like, go a long way. And I'm just saying all of this because I kind of just wanted to say to Jose that, like, there's people out there that they're gonna be willing to help you. And I'm getting emotional.
That's,
I don't know, it's weird, because, like, I don't really talk to them like that, but it's still kind of like, you know, being around a person, you just learn to appreciate them, I guess.
No, it's good. No, it's a true statement, and I see Will laughing, but I mean, everybody has to learn that, right? Like,
feel your feelings, sis. Feel your feelings. Go ahead.
Yeah, whatever. But let me get to the point. I just wanted to say that, like you should keep working hard, because once you get to where you want to be, it's gonna feel awesome.
Mm.
And I just think that it's really cool that you're young and you're still trying to, like, make something good of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I always cry. I can't not cry anymore. It's our fault.
Love. Oh, Good work.
Listen, I was I you don't know how many times I've watched Instagram story that Will puts out and that I start crying. So like you're in company. I have the same affliction my grandfather. My grandfather would watch commercials and he'd start crying at the commercials, right? Like
no, I watch Pixar movies and I start crying. But like I just wanted to like put that positive energy out there because I just wanted to like give you a boost, you know, to remember that, like, even the people that don't really interact with you as often, they're able to recognize all the hard work that you put in. Mm. And, like, it might seem a little bit weird, you know, because, like I said, people don't just randomly say nice things about people that they don't really talk to like that. But something about me is that, like, if I feel something, I'm going to say it, bro. Because I've been trying to do that. But thank sometimes God. I stop myself because... like, that's not just something you see every day. But I feel like it would be a beautiful thing if you did see it every day. Because, like I said, sometimes just, like, good words, they just make you feel good.
Hey.
Love
hey.
It. Thank all you. All right, Jose, you always got to follow her. What's up with that?
I feel like Basement Tribe provides a positive community for me. I feel like I appreciate them a lot. I appreciate Wally, Felicia, cause they always make sure that we're okay, cause they really care. You know, they give, they sacrifice a lot and give us everything that they have. You know, and it's real. You know, it's not something that's fake. It's like they're helping real people. You know, and I don't know. I just appreciate being able to be part of something so big. Cause I never thought I'd be around people like this. You know, I never thought that I'd be communicating like this or acting like this, doing anything like this, being around positive, good people. I don't know. It's just a humbling. Great experience to be part of this tribe, you know, and I feel like it really means something. It really does on dogs.
Oh man.
All right, you guys are wise for your age. Jose, Adela, like, you've been able to learn a lot through Basement Tribe. And that's fantastic that you learned this at such a young age. And I think people can learn from you. If I was listening to this 10 years ago, I probably would be learning something. I am still learning something, but I would have been learning even more because it's stuff that I took a long time to learn that you guys are lucky enough to be having people like Will and I don't know Felicia, but the other mentors and what they're imparting on you is huge and you will be successful. And that positivity you're talking about, Adela, that goes a long way. And that's Will providing that positive attitude. You know, I feel like I have the same attitude. Will's a little bit more vocal, where he's loving brother and all this other kind of stuff all the time. That's not me. I'm a little more quiet. But being around that matters. And when you make a comment like it's kind of a messed up world, yeah, it is kind of a messed up world, but like not being dragged into that and saying that's not going to affect me. Like, let all those people do whatever they're going to do. Head down, go to work, be positive. You guys are going to be happy. I appreciate all of you coming on today. I think people have a lot to learn by listening to you guys, a lot to learn about perseverance. A lot to learn about giving back to other people. And this was fantastic. I appreciate all of that, all of you do. Thank you. It's great. Keep it up. It's not easy, right? No matter what it is, it's not easy. And I appreciate you guys coming on. And now we got to move some sweatshirts.
I hear you, Joe. Thank you, man. And I just want to say something really quick to close it out. The point is the youth. Whoever, you can support whoever you want to support. You know, it's not only these kids. There's millions, billions of kids who need your help. And anybody who's helping the youth go ahead and help them, because the youth is the key. You know, like Adela said, it is a cold world, and we've been able to experience it. That's what makes a lot of us cold. But the youth, they still have hope. They're the future. They're the ones who could change all of this. You know, this world that we don't like and all this stuff that's going on in the world, like, these are the people who are going to change it. So if you don't support Basement Tribe, support somebody who's supporting the youth. That's it. That's all I really ask from you, because we're going to be all right. We've always been all right. We've been around for the last 3 years, and we've done great things. And you know, and we've been, the reward is just watching these kids right now talking like this. Like, this means a lot to me. And if we don't make a dollar, that's fine, man. Go support somebody who supports them. Like, and that's what it's really about. It's about supporting each other and wanting to see each other grow, whether you get paid for it or whether you smile, or whether you're involved in the process or not, whether your name is mentioned or not. Like, it doesn't matter. The point is to watch each other grow and help each other grow. And whether you support Basement Tribe or not, like I said, just make sure you support the youth. And thank you, Joe. Thank you for supporting the youth. I appreciate
it. You guys heard him, folks. All right. Thanks, guys.
Love. We out. We out. We out.